Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, and thank you for coming in to Fire and Rain Ministries. Well, God is the head of this ministry, and you know, I just want to bless God for everyone showing up tonight. It is awesome, awesome, awesome. We want to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to be here and to share what you put on my heart tonight, God. I pray, Father, tonight that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, because you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be starting a series on spiritual warfare. And, you know, this is something that's very, very important. A lot of people may or may not know how important it is to be involved in spiritual warfare, because I think a lot of people look at warfare as something mystical, something just in the Bible. But, you know, in the scriptures, it talks about the fact that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That is Ephesians 6:12. And this is something that we're going to be covering. These shows are going to be 30 minutes in length, and we're going to be talking about spiritual wickedness in high places and things of that nature. Another thing that we also want to talk about is, well, this is the first topic, excuse me, is going to be on the invisible war. There is a war going on, and our key verse tonight is Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12, and it reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people do not even believe in spiritual warfare. They think it's a hoax or something made up. But I'm telling you, if you get into the Word of God, and once you become a believer, you will realize that there are things that go on every day that it's almost like we have no control over. But, you know, if you are in the Spirit, you'll be able to control some things, because, you know, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that means that we can speak. You will have what you say. If you see something going on that you do not agree with, that's diametrically opposed to the Word of God, yes, and diabolical too, then you can really, you know, begin to use your words with the Word of God to cut down what the enemy is literally trying to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, and so, again, our key verse is Ephesians 6:12. Okay, now, when we want to look at this, we want to understand that there is an invisible war. And first thing you must understand is the natural and the spirit realm. And we exist in two worlds. We are natural and we're spiritual. And the natural world is what can be seen, felt, touched, heard, tasted, and it's tangible and visible. Now, when you look at houses, land, things like that, you can see it. You can see people that are in part of the environment and everything. But when you start talking about the spirit realm, the world, the spiritual world, you cannot see it with your physical eyes, but it's just as real as the natural world that we live in. And Paul speaks of this division of the natural and the spiritual world. When you look at that, all men, number one, okay, if you want to go there, it says 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, there's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. All men have a natural body, which live in the natural world, but man is also a spiritual being with an eternal soul and spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Your spiritual being is your soul and your spirit. And, of course, then you have your natural body. Sorry, it's 11 p.m. Eastern, so it's late, so if I'm a little, you know. But this is the best time for me to do this teaching. Okay, so what do we need to be able to wage war in the realm of the spirit using our authority? We've got to have spiritual discernment. Everybody say spiritual discernment. That is something that you absolutely have to have. You have to have spiritual discernment. Okay, why do you need it? Because spiritual warfare is just that. It's spiritual, and it must be understood with a spiritual mind. In our natural sinful state, we cannot understand spiritual things. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So whenever you begin to talk about spiritual warfare and things like that, you have to be able to discern things spiritually. Otherwise, everything that happens, you attribute it to that's the devil, that's a demon. Everything, you know, some of the stuff that happens to people, unfortunately, it's our fault. It's us. It's not even a demon. It's just our poor judgment and our poor choices that cause things to happen. But unfortunately, a lot of people say that, oh, it's that demon. It's the devil that made me do it. No, we have self-control and we can exercise it. We do what we want to do and we do what we don't want to do. So everything is not a demon. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, we do need spiritual discernment. And we have to understand it with a spiritual mind, not natural. Okay, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 2:14 again. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Okay? So it seems that the things in the realm of the Spirit are foolishness unto people that can't apprise spiritual things. It says that for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So a person with a carnal mind cannot discern spiritual things. It's necessary to use spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. This is just the bottom line. You have to use spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. You can't, it's not the other way around. So it's necessary to use that. Perhaps one of the best examples of natural and spiritual discernment is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. And we all remember that. It talks about the battle in which the troops of the enemy of the nation of Syria had surrounded a small town called Dothan, and where the prophet Elijah was staying. And when Elisha's servant Gehazi saw the great host of the enemy, he became fearful. And Elijah prayed that God would open up Gehazi's spiritual eyes so he could see the angelic host surrounding and protecting him. And on this occasion, God actually opened the natural eyes of Gehazi and allowed him to visibly see the forces that were with them. Amen. And he showed Gehazi all of the angelic host and army that was with them in a line for battle. And the story of this battle at Dothan is similar to the spiritual conditions in the church. And there are some, like Elisha, who see clearly into the spirit realm. And they know that there's a conflict occurring. They know and have identified the enemy. They recognize the greater forces of God that will assure our victory. But then there are others in the church, in leadership, under leaders, who are like Gehazi, who with a little encouragement will be able to open their spiritual eyes, like those at the city of Dothan, that, you know, and he'll be able, and they'll be able to see that God is with us. There's a whole host with us. But when you look at that city of Dothan, where was the rest of the people? The rest of the people were literally asleep. They were knocked out. That's kind of like the church today in some respect, that the church has gone to sleep and don't even know that the enemy has surrounded them and is literally poised for attack. And this is something that we really have to address and consider and think about, because if the enemy got you surrounded and you don't know it, there is a problem. There's a big problem. Hallelujah. There's a big problem, and that's something that needs to be addressed, because if not, it's going to be an issue. If you don't know your authority, if you don't know your kingdom authority and know how to use it and wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in the realm of the Spirit, it's going to be a problem. And so that's something we have to address. Now, again, we said there are two kingdoms, the natural kingdom and the spiritual kingdom. And we have to know that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, okay? We're not. We all live in the natural kingdom, a city, a village, what have you. Now, when you look at the spiritual kingdoms, get my scriptures here. In addition to the natural kingdom, this is the world where there's two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God, okay? And every person alive is a resident of one of these two kingdoms. I choose to be in the spiritual kingdom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, you have a lot of people nowadays playing footsies with the devil. I mean, they want their feet in both places. They want to stand, you know, with God when things are going great, and then they want to tuck tail and run and do something else when it's quote unquote not so great. And the kingdom of Satan consists of spiritual beings called demons and all men who live in sin and rebel against God's word. These, plus the world and the flesh, are the spiritual forces of evil at work in our world today. The kingdom of God consists of God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, spiritual beings called angels, and all men who live in righteousness and obedient to God's word. And these are the spiritual forces of good. And, of course, we know that the forces of evil is the devil. Now, when you talk about the invisible spiritual warfare, it's battle, which involves men and women, because of the kingdom of Satan is a spiritual kingdom. If you look at Ephesians 6:12, and that was the scripture that we read at the top of the hour, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And spiritual warfare is not natural between flesh and blood. It's not a battle against man against man. It's not a visible battle. It is an invisible struggle in the realm of the spirit. And the battle is not won with your mouth. It's not won in the, so to speak, it's not won by telling somebody off or getting your point across. It is a spiritual battle. It is not visible. Okay? And we learned this in Luke 24:39, that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Let's turn there and read it. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. Turn in your Bible to Luke 24:39. And let's see. Luke 24:39. Put my bookmark at the wrong one. All right, here we go. All right, and it says, "Behold, my hands," and this is Jesus talking, "behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So Jesus was saying that, hey, look at me, you know, handle me. The disciples' eyes were opened in when you look at this whole passage of scripture, but Jesus was saying right there, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. And when you look at spiritual warfare, it is multidimensional, which means it is fought in different dimensions. It's a social battle between believers of the world, and you can find that in John 15:18-27. It's a personal battle between flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5:16-26. And you can also, it's supernatural battle between believers and evil spiritual powers. That's Ephesians 6:10-27. And every person that is alive is engaging in battle, whether you realize it or not. It's some battle going on somewhere, rather in the natural or the spiritual realm. And there is no neutral ground. Unbelievers are in bondage to evil and have been taken captive by enemy forces, and they're victims of the war. Believers have been freed from the enemy through Jesus Christ and are victors, but still are engaged in war. This is why we have to know the word. We have to be in the word. Whenever somebody gets a bad report from the doctor, and all of a sudden they say, oh, you know, I have this, I have that. Well, you know, it may be true that's what they say, they see, but according to the word of God, Jesus says by his stripes we were already healed. And so we have to wage war and come against what's been said to us and say, you know what, that's what they say, but this is what the word say. And we literally have to go to war on behalf of our own self sometimes. Not only our families, but we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, they say I have this, they say I have that, but according to your word, you know, even people that have blood diseases, the blood of Jesus flows through my vein, and by his stripes I'm already healed. My blood is healed as well as whole. And we can't just take it once a month. We have to take the word like medicine every single day. So if something goes on in your life, your body, you know, your family, we have to take that word like medicine, excuse me, and begin to apply it, okay? And so the key verse for this chapter indicates that we are all believers and we wrestle against evil forces, okay? Spiritual wickedness in high places and all that. Wrestling, when you look at it, wrestling involves close personal contact. No one is exempt from this battle. No one can view it from a distance. You're in the midst of the conflict, whether you acknowledge or not. If you believe it, you'll get better. As far as this whole battle and everything that's going on, you're wrong. Because the closer we get to the coming of Christ, all type of stuff is going to start breaking out. It's going to break out. It's a lot of stuff going on nowadays, and we really have to be aware of that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, everything, you know, there's wars. There's rumors of wars. You know, never have I seen in my life so many kids killing their parents and vice versa. I mean, you got kids ganging up and killing their parents and, you know, cutting them up, shooting them up, you know, just all type of stuff. It says that mother will be against daughter, daughter against mother, son against father. It says all of this in the Bible, and it's literally coming to pass before our eyes. So don't be surprised when you see. You're going to see famine. You're going to see, I mean, look at what's going on now with the shutdown and all that stuff, and there could potentially be a really serious economical food shortage and domino effect as a result of that. But we're going to be praying that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, according to everything that's going on in our government. Because, you know, this is a time when we have to get in the realm of the spirit and begin to fight. We have to begin to pull down the strongholds. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we can, with our mouth, we can decree and declare what the word says, and we can come against every force of darkness, every force of evil, not with our words, not in our power, but by the power and the anointing and the authority of the Holy Ghost. We can come against whatever's wreaking havoc in your life, in your ministry, in your church, in your body, on your job. Use your words as the power to stop what's going on and turn it around. You can use your words. You know, you can use your words. Your words literally frame your way of thinking. Amen? And so when you look at where the battle rages, this is an invisible war that's waged on earth. John 10:10 says, the thief, which is Satan, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan fights to maintain control of the kingdoms of this world, and he does not want them to come under God's authority. The battle also rages within the hearts, the minds, the soul of men and women, and Satan blinds the minds of the unbelievers and attacks believers in the areas of worship, the word, their daily walk, and their work for God. Now, when you think about this, you know, the enemy comes with mind-blinding spirits that will also try to weaken God's people. Now, when it says that, when you think about the fact that Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers and attacks believers in the areas of worship, the enemy wants to make you so busy that you don't have time to worship God. The enemy wants to make you so busy you don't have time to study the word. He'll put anything and everything else in front of you, so no time in the word, no time in prayer. And then what does that do? That weakens you spiritually. When if you don't eat, you get weak. Some people don't eat, they get just downright mad. But if you don't have a steady diet of prayer, a life of, you know, basically consecration before the Lord and in his word, not on a semi-daily basis, not on a basis of when I feel like getting into the word, but if you don't have a walk where you are in the word, you are in prayer, you are in worship, and you are literally, you know, in tune with the Father, that takes a daily thing. That's not an every other day thing. You have to be in, you know, you got to get it in every day. If you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, naturally you get hungry and you start losing weight. You first thing you lose is water. That's a revelation right there, ain't it? That's a good revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whenever you are not in the word, the first thing you start losing that water. What is the water is considered, the word is considered also as water, spiritual water, right? And so or the water of the washing of the word is one of the scriptures. But if you stop feeding yourself with the word, you're going to start losing spiritual weight. In other words, you're going to start losing strength. And so how in the world are you going to do spiritual warfare with your armor if you are too weak to fight because you have not had a steady diet of the word? The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You don't have a standard to raise if you have not been in the word, if you have not been in prayer, if you don't know the mind and the will of God, you will not be able to wage war in the realm of the spirit against the enemy. You just can't. It's just totally impossible. Totally impossible. Now, when we're talking about the war, we all know that it started in heaven with the angel named Lucifer, who was originally a beautiful angel created by God and was part of the kingdom of God. And what did Lucifer do? Lucifer decided that he wanted to take over God's kingdom, and you can read about that rebellion in Isaiah 14:12-17. You can also read about it in Ezekiel 28:12-19. And, you know, we'll talk about that later on as we get more into the spiritual warfare teaching. And you know what happened? A group of angels, they joined Lucifer, now called Satan, in this rebellion. And Lucifer and the rebellious angels, what happened? They were cast out of heaven by God. They formed their own kingdom on earth. If you look at Revelation 12:7, it says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon fought his angels. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, we know that Lucifer became Satan, and the angels which followed him in rebellion are known as demons. Demons, spirits, can enter. They can torment, they can control, they can use humans who belong to Satan's kingdom, okay? They motivate evil acts, which are done by men and women. Satan directs his demons in their evil activities, and he literally combines these powerful forces with the world and the flesh to war against all mankind, because the ultimate goal of the enemy is to see people in hell. The enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy mankind. Why? Because we're made in the image of the one that kicked him out. We are made in the image of God. So the enemy wants to literally destroy man. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We really don't. What was the reason? What's the reason behind the conflict? Man was originally created in the image of God and for God's glory. In Genesis chapter 2, you can read that. So the war against man started with the first temptation in the Garden of Eden. That's Genesis chapter 3. Satan caused Adam and Eve to sin. This resulted in all men inheriting the basic sin nature and committing individual acts of sin due to that nature. And that's something that we were all born with. We were all born with a sin nature. And have you ever done something? You said, "Oh, why did I do that? That was so stupid. Why did I say that? That wasn't even like really the truth." You know, all been there. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In some way, form, shape, or deed, everybody sins every day. That's why, you know, thank God for Jesus dying on the cross and forgiving us for past, present, and future sins. You know, I bless God because, see, we can't do enough to get in on our own. We can't do enough good stuff because there's no good in us. Only him that's in us is good. Now, when you look at this, Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so sin passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. It also results in an invisible war between man and the forces of evil. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says that I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, mankind, and between thy seed, the forces of evil, and her seed, the forces of good, represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of sin, man was separated from God and condemned to death. But God loved us so much that he made a special plan to save us." Hallelujah. You know, for John 3:16, I'm telling you, you know, it's amazing to me that, you know, God thought enough about us. You could see way down the line from the fall in the garden God knew that there was going to be turmoil. There was going to be a spiritual war going on. And he had a plan from the beginning. You know, the word became flesh and dwelled among us. I mean, all if you think about it, it's mind-blowing. All the way from Genesis, when the fall happened, up to right now, 2019, where you and I live, I tell you what, God said, I have a plan to redeem my creation. So it's going to be warfare. It's going to be trials and tribulations and all type of stuff happening. But I tell you what, God has already made provision for us to overcome because we are overcomers. We are overcomers. Amen. And so, you know, a couple more things I'm going to say tonight, and then we're going to wrap it up because this is going to be a weekly 30-minute teaching at 11 p.m. on Monday night. What does it mean in spiritual warfare? What is it? We got about 4 minutes, and we're going to talk about this right quick. Spiritual warfare, basically, it is includes the studying of the opposing force of good and evil, strategies of Satan, spiritual strategies of overcoming the enemy. Spiritual warfare is more than a mere analysis of spiritual principles. I mean, you just can't, you know, sit here and try to analyze everything, you know, like the football teams, you know, they draw their little diagram and then they say, we're going to do it like this. Or, you know, the armies, they'll draw a diagram and say, we're going to diagram and say, we're going to invade here. We have got to be in tune with the Spirit of God to wage spiritual warfare. It's a lot of people that use analytics, they use diagrams, you know, and things like that. But that is not, you know, and I've seen so many books on spiritual warfare, mapping, spiritual mapping, and how to go in and take over cities and all of this stuff. And I'm not, you know, if that's what God gave people, that's, you know, great. But what I have learned is the greatest spiritual map that we can have is the word. The greatest spiritual authority that we have is the word. That's the only authority. That is the only thing that is going to bring the enemy down. You know, and one of the most effective strategies of Satan to keep is to keep believers ignorant of his devices. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said it in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So we should all learn about Satan's strategies of attack. We must also understand the scripture basis of victory over Satan and the forces of evil. We're called to be intelligent in combat. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How can you pull down a stronghold? How can you be mighty through God if you don't even know the word? You've got to know the word. You must recognize that all battles of life, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, financially, or with human personalities, are only an outward manifestation of a spiritual cause. It is an outward reaction to what's going on in the realm of the spirit, okay? And that's something that we really have to look at. What's really caused? So when somebody get upset and start tripping, it's not them. It's not them. It's a spirit that's operating in a person to agitate you. If you're saved and you know the Lord, and then all of a sudden things go to jumping off, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? Oh, my God. It's a spiritual fight. It is a spiritual fight. But you know what? We are out of time. We're down to our last minute. And this is, I mean, I've enjoyed tonight. And thank you guys, all the listeners that popped on tonight to listen and will listen to the archives. I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And we're going to be continuing this spiritual warfare series every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Apostle Allison J. Cross of Fire and Rain Ministries, coming to you right here from Cary, North Carolina. And, you know, I just want you to be encouraged and know that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Don't let anybody provoke you to wrath. You know, turn the other cheek and say, you know what, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I'm going to fight this in the realm of the spirit with the word. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you. We honor you for allowing us to be here tonight and share the word. And we thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment, we shall condemn. And, God, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everyone. Come on back next week and bring a friend because you don't want to miss next week when we get more into spiritual warfare. God bless you and good night.